The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family. I want to welcome you to joining me from your home through this live stream video feed, either on YouTube or Facebook. I just want to thank you for connecting with us. And it's wonderful that through the gifts of modern technology, we can still join on a Sunday like this. Just want to kind of tell you a little bit about what I want to do today in this time we have together. I would like to spend a little bit of time bringing an update to you about the coronavirus, specifically as that relates to our church family and our community. And then I want to share with you from the Word of the Lord. I believe that God's word is especially helpful in times like this as we can hear from him, seek to guide and pattern our lives after the will of God in all things. And I want us to pray together. We're a church family, and we have a wonderful Heavenly Father that we can come to, especially in times like this. So again, I want to thank you from wherever you're joining us, whether it's at the kitchen table, whether it's on your smartphone, or perhaps it's in your living room with some family and perhaps some friends over today. I want to begin by giving you a brief update about our church family and the response currently to the coronavirus. I want to thank you for your patience. These truly are unprecedented days that we're living in, and I'm so thankful for our wonderful staff at Peoria Nazarene. I'm so thankful for our church board that really has been a help in guiding us through these times. As you probably have seen, we are taking every precaution as a church family to ensure the safety of especially the vulnerable in our church family. We're not looking to overreact or create fear, but rather to embrace a confident posture of trusting God and make sure at the same time we're practicing wisdom. And because of that reason, we felt it necessary to not meet on site in our facilities today, just to protect the vulnerable. We have a number in our church family who have compromised immune systems, and we don't want to create a risk by transmitting this virus to any of those who are weak in our church family. But I want to thank you as a church family. As a pastor, I have received so many texts and phone calls offering support. I'm so proud of our church family and even far prouder of our God, who is really enabling us to move towards the need during times like this. I just want to give you an example. I received a call, a text from a business owner in our church family who owns a computer store, and he was offering to me that we could use and that communities and agencies in our town could use computers that he would lend free to help those parents and families in need who may be struggling with adapting to their kids being home from school and e-learning. Not everybody has access to a good computer to do that. I've also received texts from people saying, "I'll help tutor, I'll help. Where's the need at?" I've received contacts, phone calls from individuals saying, "Where are the seniors in our church that may be in need? And I'm willing to run errands. I'm willing to help them so they don't have to get out." Just want to thank you. It's so amazing to see how God is making us at Peoria Nazarene to be a community that is committed to connecting people to God's love and God's family. I want to thank you for being a part of that. I want to thank you for how you are modeling the way in that. I also want to make you aware that I've been in contact with two of our local elementary District 150 principals, and I've offered the full support of the Peoria Nazarene Church family. I've offered the support that when and where needs arise, if faith communities like us can fill that gap, we stand ready, whether that's usage of our facility or whether that's in us helping serve meals, whatever the gap may be, we want to help. We stand ready to help. I've also been in contact with the administration at both of the senior living homes that we send teams into weekly, Hardis and Bickford. I've offered our full support and our desire to surround them in whatever kind of support our church family can do. In addition to that, I've been in contact with my good friend, Pastor Marty Johnson, and our friends and partner ministry at New Beginnings Ministries of Peoria. and I've offered our church family's full support in helping with the food pantry or helping meet any other needs that may arise in the community. I feel so blessed to be part of this church family, and I'm so thankful that we have hope even in times, especially in times like this. If you have any questions or you become aware of any needs, I want to encourage you, communicate those. Feel free to text me, 309-830-7745. Feel free to also call or log in or Facebook and look at our private church family Facebook group. Share as things become available. Share needs that you see and encourage one another in different ways that we can connect. That private church family Facebook group is a wonderful place to share prayer requests. Also to celebrate when we don't brag on ourselves, but if you see somebody in the church family who's leading the way in humble service, that's a private place where you can share that so we can give glory to our God for that. Well, thanks again just for being with us, and I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, I realize that as we go to the Lord in prayer, we may be in different settings. We're separated by distance. We're unable to gather here at Peoria Nazarene today. But it's important that we remember that the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised lives within our hearts who believe, and that we as the church are being filled every day with the Holy Spirit as we trust in Christ. So even though we're separated by miles, we're separated as we join into this live stream, and as we together as one church come before our wonderful Heavenly Father, that same Spirit unites us and draws us together. So in a sense, whether you're sitting alone watching this feed or whether you're gathered with family, none of us are alone. For the same Spirit that dwells within each one of us unites us in the body of Christ. I want to encourage you as well and remind myself that when we pray, there's not much of a better way we can pray in times like this than to remember our Lord's Prayer. Remember in Matthew, in his gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches on prayer, and then specifically he models how we should pray. Even before he teaches and gives us the Lord's Prayer, he reminds us that we must not make prayer about ourselves. We can make prayer about ourselves when we pray or think that desperation or our long many words will somehow trick a reluctant God into giving us what he doesn't want to give us. That's not what prayer is about. Jesus says our Heavenly Father already knows. He knows what each one of us need before we ever ask or before we ever say a word, and he is faithful. So when we pray, we don't need to beg. Let's also remember that it's not great faith that moves a reluctant God. No, Jesus reminded us it's small faith, the faith the size of a mustard seed, in a great big God of all sufficient grace that is what we need. So I don't know where you're at right now. Perhaps like that one follower of Jesus who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to remind you how great our God is. And I want to remind you how able he is to help each and every one of us. So I'd invite you to bow with me. And let's go to our wonderful Heavenly Father in prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we know that we can approach you as our Father in heaven. We are those who have been brought into your family by your love that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ in adopting us into your family. And just as a little child would come before a loving parent, how much more can we come before you? We can come with our needs, we can come with our fears, and we can know that you're a God who hears us, who loves us, and also you're a God who is all-powerful because you're our Father in heaven. None of what's taking place in our society and in these days in which we live catches you by surprise, for your knowledge is not limited. And so, Father, we can trust you knowing that even in these uncertain times that we know our God is sovereign, that our God is holy, and he is Lord of all. And Father, as we gather in our homes as a church family today, our greatest prayer is that in our lives, every family at Peoria Nazarene, every individual, every young person, every old person, Father, regardless of where we are, our prayer is that the name of the Lord Jesus would be honored in our lives. Father, we know that oftentimes in uncertain times are the times that you do your greatest work. Father, we pray that by the words we use, Father, by the things we say, by the way we respond individually and together to these times, that the name of God would be honored in us and through us. Father, we pray your kingdom would come today. We remember that these things we're experiencing today remind us that although you have defeated sin and death, and although the Creator has already come to redeem creation, we know that we live in this in-between time where your kingdom is both already, but it's also not yet. And everything won't be fully restored. Sin and death and sickness and disease won't fully be done away with until that day when the Lord Jesus shall triumphantly return. So, Father, we pray even now, Lord, as the world looks at us as a church family, would they see the signs of the coming King? Father, would they see us to be a people of hope and of grace who would spread your love? Father, we pray your will would be done in our lives, Lord. We know so much of your will is clear through your word. Father, help us to be obedient, to follow in the steps of Jesus, not out of a desire to earn anything from you, because we know we can't, but Father, out of hearts that are just so thankful for what you've done for us, may we be a people who walk in the very steps of Jesus in this world today. Give us the bread we need today. Help us not to worry about tomorrow, but help us to rely on you physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every possible way, relationally, we need you. And so we ask for the bread for this day, and help us to trust in your provision for us today. And Father, in the same way, we come before you and we say, forgive us for our sins. Father, that is a joyous thing for us to do because we know we have an advocate, Christ Jesus the righteous. And Father, even as these times are squeezing us and pressing us, we're thankful we can come to you in moments where maybe we've become frustrated or we haven't acted or represented you well. We can come to you and say, Jesus, forgive me. Wash me. By your Spirit, transform me to be your loving presence. And in the same way as we live in tense times and what's going on, make me a person of grace. Help me as you give me your grace that I don't deserve to give that grace to other people who don't deserve it as well. Help me to be just as generous and kind and loving to other people as you have been with me. Father, I pray that you would not let us fall into temptation. You know there's many temptations we face. Father, help us not to fall into the trap of, Lord, of thinking only about ourselves, but help us to resist temptation and to trust fully in you. The temptations to worry. Father, the temptations to embrace the negative thoughts. Help us to trust in you. Father, we pray that even now you'd rescue us from evil, because we know that the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, and the glory is yours. Father, we especially pray for wisdom, protection for all first responders, for all of our doctors and medical professionals who will be serving and caring for those. We are thankful for them, and we pray your protection. Lord, for every hospital administrative team who's making decisions, would your Spirit guide them? Father, we pray that you'd be with our governing authorities. We think of those here in Peoria, Illinois. We're so thankful for them. We pray that you'd give them wisdom and discernment in the decisions they would make. For our state, our governor, Lord, for the President of the United States. We pray for all authorities knowing, Father, that we can trust in you and we can ask for you to give them wisdom to guide them. But Father, our hearts are glad because we know we have an unshakable hope. May that hope guide us. May it bind us together. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to take a few moments now and have the privilege of opening the word of the Lord, looking at the promises of God and the hope and the comfort and encouragement they bring to us. I want to begin just by talking about the sign of the robin. The robin is one of those animals that remind us of change. Someone in my family as I grew up always was really good at whenever winter would be in those hard days where it seems to just drag on forever and ever, it's cold, the ground is frozen. I had a loving family member who would always text me and would say, "I saw a robin, the first robin." And then they would say, "Spring is coming." Just yesterday, I saw my first robin. And as the snow was coming down, and it really was one of those days that just looked kind of gloomy, and with everything going on, I saw this fluffy robin sitting in the snow. And it was that sign, it was that reminder that although winter is long and things seem to be without hope, spring is coming. We don't need to be afraid. God has woven his story of redemption even into creation. So we can have this bold confidence that in the same way we know that the God who created this world free of sin, free of evil, free of suffering, in spite of the fact that humanity chose to live away from a relationship with God, to pursue our own way, and we brought death, sin, and corruption, and sickness, and disease, and we polluted this whole beautiful creation, our God, our Creator, loves us so much that he would send his Son, Jesus. That he would come in the incarnation. He would step into this very broken world. And he would come to forgive us individuals of our sins and bring us back through Jesus into a relationship with God, our Father, our Creator. He would restore our broken human relationships. And also he would promise to make all things new again, all creation. Paul says that all creation is groaning, waiting for that day when Christ shall return and all things will be new again. That's our hope. And I want to remind you as a church family, spring is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Everything that's been broken will be made new again. That's the God we serve. We have such hope. Now, I know as you gather in your home, perhaps there's children who are gathering, sitting with their parents, watching. And I wanted to share with you a devotional from the book that my family has been reading. It's called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. And this is the devotional that we would be reading here today, and I wanted to share it with you. And it's a devotional that contains a poem about a robin. And the title of the devotional in this book is called Why Worry? I want to read it to you, invite you to listen, and invite our kids to listen in as well. Worry is thinking we know better than God how something should go. Jesus said God doesn't want his children to worry, and then told us to watch the little birds and let them be our teachers. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and hurry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." It's a poem by Elizabeth Cheney in 1859. Matthew 6:25-26 says, "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them all." Aren't you thankful we have a heavenly Father, and we do not need to be afraid because our heavenly Father cares for us. But he has work for us to do. And I want to talk with you just for a few moments as we wrap up our final moments together about what kind of response should the church have in times like this. I would challenge that what should define each and every one of us individually and as a church family is that we would be marked by the cross of Jesus Christ. that the cross would be what unites us, following in the steps of our Lord for all times, as the direction of our whole lives, as the passion of our hearts and in what we do in life. The cross of Jesus should shape our faith and should be the example that we follow. In John the Beloved's Gospel, chapter 13 through 21, really the second half of the book, which is often referred to as the Book of Glory, Jesus goes aside with his disciples and he begins to prepare them for his departure from his time on earth in the body. He begins to prepare them for the hour that is to come where Jesus will show the greatest sign and he will show that his glorification will be through the cross. And Jesus teaches his disciples. He models for them what life should look like for them after he's gone. And as we read these words of Jesus and as we look at the example of Christ, beginning with him washing the feet of his disciples in chapter 13, taking us through as Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit who is coming, through his betrayal, his arrest, his death, and then through his resurrection, we are invited and challenged to be a people who would be shaped by the cross. And this morning, I just want to share with you one key quality that we should be known for. We are called to love one another. Followers of Jesus are to be known by our love for one another. Sometimes that can be a sentimental word, but in John's gospel and in Jesus' example, he gives us a clear picture of what this love looks like. I'd invite you to listen along or follow along on the screen as I read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. John's gospel here says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." It's the word of the Lord. We have an example here in John's gospel, an example of our Lord demonstrating what it means to love one another. We see in this picture that loving one another is becoming a humble servant. It's being a humble servant. What Jesus does here as the eternal Son of God, as God in the flesh, fully human but fully God, is truly extraordinary and unprecedented. Washing the feet of individuals in this day was a menial task that was reserved for especially Gentile slaves. It was considered to be below even Jewish slaves, and here was reserved for Gentile slaves. This was a task that was considered to be below. And here Jesus is. In an extraordinary way, at this meal, this Passover meal, Jesus, who is at the head of the table, takes on the very form of a humble servant. And he begins to move, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples who are reclining at this table. And one fascinating part about this is as the disciples are reclining at the table with their upper body and their heads facing the table, their posture would be of such that their feet are far from the table, so that as they're facing the table, as a slave would come by to wash the feet, they would not even have to make eye contact with the slave. That was not uncommon, and can you imagine that the Lord of all creation here, Christ himself, begins to take the towel and wash the feet of his disciples. Now you can imagine, they didn't just look at the table, they turned and they looked at him, and they were overwhelmed by this act. They were taken back by it. We have a picture that loving one another is embracing that posture. It's that we would become humble servants. But also we see that loving one another includes our enemies. Even here, as Jesus does this act, he also washes the feet of Judas, the one who will betray him with a kiss. And here, Jesus, knowing that, still humbly serves and washes the feet of Judas. He's not the only enemy at the table. In fact, all the disciples will betray Jesus. All the disciples will abandon their friend, their Lord, at his hour of greatest need. Yet Jesus washes the feet, not because people are worthy, but because of his love and compassion. Love for God calls us to serve not only those who we consider friends, but also those that we may consider enemies. To do so humbly with compassion and grace. That's what loving one another looks like. But we see very clearly here a picture. At our very essence as followers of Jesus, the quality that we are to be known by above anything else is our love for God, and specifically that demonstrated in our love for one another. We see this in Peter. You can imagine Jesus coming to Peter. Peter sits there and he objects and he says, "Not me, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet." You see, he views this act of Jesus as dishonoring to Jesus. And he thinks, if I let Jesus do this, it's a shameful thing. I can't let him do it. But Jesus' response shows the importance of what he is doing. He's setting an example for all of his followers, not just in that day, but for all time until he returns. This is how we must serve. This is the kind of people that we must be. We must love one another. But he's also pointing to another reality. This takes place at the Passover meal. And if we were to go back to the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1, we would see the announcement that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Just as they would be celebrating that Passover lamb, here Jesus is showing them that the greatest act of love and service will be that he himself will be our sacrifice. He will take upon himself all the sickness, the death, the brokenness, the sin, the corruption that has come into this world through our sin, and he would be that atoning sacrifice for our sins. So here Jesus is also referring to that washing that will ultimately be accomplished through the regeneration, new birth that the Spirit brings into our hearts when we trust in Christ. And the message is clear that we must be willing to be washed by this humble, loving Savior who comes to us not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom. after Jesus washes their feet, and Peter then, almost like a comic strip, Peter says, well, in that case, wash everything, my head, wash my whole body. Jesus returns to that position at the head of the table. And as he returns to that central place of authority, the message is clear. Jesus looks at his disciples, and he says this, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. If I wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. It's neat to imagine what would it be like if Jesus turned and said to us, do you understand? Do you understand what I've done to you? Do you understand who I am and the sacrifice I've made for you? What are the implications of that? How does that challenge us? We must remember loving one another as being a humble servant. Loving one another includes our enemies. And loving one another must be what we are known for. We want the world to know more than anything that there is a God who created all things, who loves us, who has sent his son to bring us back and restore all that's been broken. And the way they can see that is when they see the love of God in us. A few verses later in this chapter, verse 34 and 35, I'd invite you to hear the word of the Lord here as Jesus speaks again to his disciples. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want you to think for a moment. What do you want to be known for? When people think of you, what is it that you want to be remembered for? Just a couple weeks ago, I lost a very, very good friend. He was 92 years old. His name was John Raisler. John is a friend that I came to know through our ministry at Bickford Senior Living. Members of the team know John Raisler very well, John and Molly. And I was blessed to get to know John during that time. And as I began to know him in our time there, he moved from Bickford to Hardis, and really through him and through Molly is ultimately how we ended up starting another service at Hardis Senior Living here in Peoria. And I knew John and Molly for over 5 years, and John I considered as my friend. And I just want to tell you a little bit about what I knew of John Raisler. John, I didn't know a lot of his story, but I know that every single day for 5 years, he greeted me with a glowing smile. I saw the compassion and gentle spirit and the kindness in his face. I know that as I would talk with him, he would be so grateful to our team who would come in to share the good news of Jesus, to bring the words of hope, to sing the hymns of the faith. John's face always shined with a beautiful glow. He was an encourager. Last year, when I lost my father to cancer, John was one who was constantly offering his care, his support, his prayers. That's the John that I know. I also came to know John at Hardis when we would set up the tables and chairs. Even while John was hardly able to walk, he insisted that he had to help set up tables and chairs. He viewed it so important. In fact, I would work as fast as I could the team would set up the tables and chairs because we didn't want John to get hurt. But he said, no, I have to help. I want to serve. I was able to visit John in the hospital before he passed away, and I saw that glowing, glowing smile. After he passed away, I saw the obituary here in the paper. And I came to learn something about John that I knew nothing of. I knew he was a World War II veteran, but I didn't know about his profession. John started off working with IBM, and he sold typewriters after the war. He worked faithfully in that position for many years, and John Raisler became a corporate vice president of IBM. And you know what fascinates me? That's not the John I knew. I never knew John like that. In 5 years, John never extended his hand to me and said, my name is John, I'm a former vice president of IBM. You see, the John I know moved chairs. The John I know, his face shined with a joy. The John I know was an encourager. He wanted to talk more about me. The John I know was a humble servant. I came to find out that John really came to trust in the love of God through Christ during his time at Bickford and Hardis. And he came to have that trust in God's love through that season of his life. I'll remember John for his love, for the warm smile, and for his humble service. What is it that you want to be remembered for? What is it that you want to be known for? Closing, I just want to share 1 John 4:10 through 12. John here says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." And then in verse 16, "This has become my life verse. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." So I want to invite you as a church family, as families and friends in living rooms today as we gather from home, spend time. Be ready to ask God the question, what does it look like for me to walk in the steps of Jesus here today with all that's going on in our world? I want you to think about how Jesus moved toward your need. That's what the incarnation is all about. Do you realize that God himself, Jesus, stepped into this very broken world that we live in today, where there were sicknesses, disease, suffering, and all kinds of unknown circumstances? This is the world God stepped into. And Jesus moved to our need. Can I ask you, will you pray? What need might God be calling you to move toward? Maybe it's a need within the church. Is there somebody that you'd write a card of encouragement to? Is there a senior, the need that perhaps you would offer to get groceries for? Perhaps as community needs become available, would you be willing to serve in a food pantry? What is it that God's calling you to do to move toward those in need? We desire more than anything to be known by our love for God and our love for one another. That's how the world will know that there is a God who loves us, who gave his life for us. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your life-giving word. We know that it is only through your Spirit that we experience the transformation of the gospel. It's only through your Holy Spirit that we can apply and respond to your grace, and we can be changed. Father, in this very moment, I pray for every heart that is joining us here today, that it would be warmed by the gospel, that it would be reminded of the power of Christ and what he's done and what he will do. And Father, would you make us, especially in this time, to be a people who would take on the posture of being humble servants. Lord, would you help us not to be afraid, to fear not, because we know you are with us always, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, you've not left us alone, and that nothing can stand against us. So help us to be eager, not in a showy, self-serving way, but in a humble way, to serve for the glory of Christ. Father, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you that we can follow and trust you. And we believe that when we pray, help us to honor your name during this time. We are completely confident that that's a prayer according to your name, and you will answer that. So Father, I pray through the imagination of your people in Peoria Nazarene Church family that they would dream dreams. Father, that they would lean in greatly, knowing that you have a specific work for every member to do. Father, I pray that you would fill our hearts with the comforting presence of Jesus in these days. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you again. Thank you for joining us for this time. I encourage you to keep in the word, keep walking with Christ this week. Also want to make you aware, as we will be reminding you through social media and continuing to communicate, we've canceled our Wednesday evening activities in an abundance of caution to want to help limit the spread of things. But we'll be updating you about decisions kind of as this fluid situation progresses. So we haven't made any decisions about next Sunday, but we will keep you up to date. I also want to remind you, because some have asked, if you're wondering how to give to continue to support the ministry of the church and helping and reaching out to those in need and supporting all the ministries of Peoria Nazarene, one way you can do that is online, peorianazarene.church, peorianazarene.com. You can give through our church online secure database, Church Community Builder. Information is there on the website. We always encourage that if you do give that way, the best way to give is through ACH or electronic check. Otherwise, if we use credit cards, a portion of that goes to fees for that. But also want to encourage you, you're more than welcome to give, those of you who want to give an offering or a tithe, you can send that through the mail, 5504 North University Street, Peoria, Illinois, 61614. Again, it's an honor to be with you. May God's grace sustain and strengthen you during this time. Know that you're loved by God and you're loved by your church family. Go in His grace.